Not going to be long. Just real quick, before you get started with the meeting, the only reason I'm here now is to let you all know I am resigning from the water board.
Okay.
I will be moving out of the area.
Okay.
So, you guys,
thank you.
Do cabs on pro.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you please draft a letter and send it into the office, please?
I sure will.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And good luck with your endeavors.
And Maxine?
Thank you.
I reiterate what Link just said very much.
You were a valuable asset on the board.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I will talk to you all later. Bye.
Is there anybody else there? Okay. First item, call to order, Pledge of Allegiance, roll call, Finance and Audit Committee. Next page. I need approval of the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants for February 16th, and the regular board meeting for February 16th.
I did notice one mistake.
Okay.
It says that everybody said, everybody voted aye, and we did have a missing board member last month.
And that was?
And that was on the motion to approve the previous meeting minutes.
Oh, okay. So it was possibly.
Just a typo.
Yeah, Robert Ibarra joined.
All right, next item. Oh, okay, so I need a motion to make the minutes approved with the.
Susan Blair.
Next item is warrants, none. Award of contracts, none. Update. San Gregorio Pass Water, or Regional Water Alliance update. Mrs. Morris? Okay, the meeting's tomorrow. The next update will be at the next board meeting. Next item is the manager's operations report by general manager, Mr. Louie.
All right, that's my board packet.
I'll leave it there.
Go ahead.
Who is that? Oh, she wants to get a board packet right there.
Just in case there's a backwash,
we rather not contaminate the distribution system. So we wait for the well to pump, and that way if there's a backwash, we can always flush dilutions and solution, or it will go into the wastewater pond at well one.
Okay.
The positive deal is Coffin Specialty. They reimbursed the district for $1,813 for the damage they caused their Apache vault. So that's how much it cost the district, or would have cost the community to repair the Apache vault. And I'm now working with Edison because they backed into a 2.5-inch blow-off off of Esperanza between Peach and Plum. And so I'm working with them on that and getting that reimbursed. Apparently, as I said before, technology is great only when it works, but it seldom works, so I'm working with AXA. For some reason, Gene Beal, who is with Cream and Stewart, our engineering, and one of our key accountants, Cindy Byron, is unable to exchange email. I finally called him. I said, hey, what trouble is that? And he said, well, we've been returning your email, but I'm not getting it. But she's getting it. So it's forwarded to her, and I filed the work order today with the accent to see what's up. And right there in the center of those, with those tubing, that's how they're stealing water off of, that's the latest water theft off of Helen. They're tapping up into the main underneath one of the hydrants, and then all the homeless folks are going over there filling up their 5-gallon sparkler bottles. So Morgan was the one that discovered that, and we filed a report with the sheriff's documentation. Manuel Delgado, the sanitary engineer from the Department of Water Resource Control Board, is our biennial sanitary survey that we passed, the district passed. He made a couple of recommendations, and just to avoid exposing the district security. If any of you director would like to ask me later on in the meeting, I'll disclose what his recommendations were. But other than that, as far as the quality of the water and the cleanliness and the operation, we passed again. It's only another 2 years before they'll be back. And that is my report for this month.
Okay. Can I get to the right page here? Next item on the agenda is new business. The item one, discussion action, and tab one is about a battery backup system for well one. The system is well two. Excuse me, sorry. The idea is they're going to put a battery backup in case, you know, when we have these power shutoffs, if the wind starts blowing and we run a chance of running out of water or fire and they shut the system down the grid, this will supply power to pump water so that the residents still have water. The cost, $749,000. It's being paid for by the state. Okay, because we're a disadvantaged community and we would have had to buy a generator that was going to cost $500,000. My understanding, though, is that it's a 10-year deal, and after 10 years, I don't know what else is supposed to transpire at the end of 10 years. I couldn't quite gather that information. The problem is we have until the end of the month. The end of this week to say yes or no. I talked to the attorney. The only drawback is the prevailing wage law in the state or whatever. In the contract, they state that they pay a certain wage, not prevailing wage. and they've done it with every governing entity that they have dealt with. There is a slight possibility if somebody says, oh, you're supposed to be prevailing wage because it is a government contract to a government agency, we or Tesla could be on the hook for maybe $10,000 down the road if somebody were to file suit. In other words, one of the employees say, hey, you were supposed to be paying us prevailing wages and you weren't. That is a chance. The attorney doesn't feel it's a chance worth worrying about. The cost benefit for the return if that happens. Because I asked a lot of questions and he presented a lot of information. Any questions?
I love the questions that you ask. You always have a lot of good ones. Okay. Okay, so is it, so us agreeing to do this and we know they're not paying prevailing wage, how does that implicate us? No matter what, there
will be an implication because Tesla will say our contract said we only pay a standard regular wage, not a prevailing wage. So it is a there will be a fight. If there is ever a case, there would be a fight. The question is the value to the district and the community worth that minute potential? The attorney recommended we just go ahead with the deal.
And if I could just jump in, can everyone hear me?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to join us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ryan Glanville at Tesla. I'm looking at California government labor code right now, 4217, and it actually specifically calls out that resiliency improvements are not subject to prevailing wage. I'm happy to share more information about that. I can send that. And also in regards to after 10 years, the great thing about this program is actually the district, you will own the asset. It will be yours from day one. Just the state of California and Tesla, we ask you that you don't move it within the first 10 years. Or if you do, you just, you know, let the state administrators and Tesla know about it before you do it. Otherwise, you can do whatever you want with it at the end of its life, which might be 15 or 20 years down the road. You can recycle it with Tesla. We'd be happy to recycle it. We have a $0 recycling fee. But also, the battery will still have value even at the end of its useful life because it has precious metals in it. So it still holds value. So you could recycle it with a third party, or you may even be able to sell it for a profit. But at the very least, Tesla, we're happy to take it from you.
Okay, so are they a lithium, or are they what is the content of the batteries?
Correct, they're lithium ion batteries.
Lithium ion, okay. All right, so so the system has all of the necessary fire control, ABC controls, you know, or as far as the battery management and charging and discharge and all that, I presume, because they're big.
Absolutely. So Tesla, we've been manufacturing batteries for over a decade now, and we actually we have by far and above not only met every, you know, code and UL standard, but we've actually exceeded them, and we've actually set the bar for safety. So we will actually try to set our batteries on fire. We will attempt to create a propagating event, and we simply can't do it. Even if we want to set them on fire, we can't. The reason for that is due to our engineering, there's safety and reliability and resiliency is inherent from the product, starting with the battery cell unit, which is about, it can fit in the palm of your hand, the battery cell, and we have a liquid thermal cooling system that will cool the batteries on the cell level. And then we get to build bigger building blocks from the battery cells, and everything is entirely contained so that if there were a thermal event in one battery cell or in one battery module, it's not going to propagate to the rest of the battery. And You know, there we have 86,000 stationary batteries deployed around the world, and we've had zero thermal events. So they are incredibly safe.
Okay, what is the life expectancy of the battery?
So it comes with a 10-year operation and maintenance agreement. The state requires that we give that to you. It's part of this state equity resiliency program. In addition to that, the battery comes with a 15-year manufacturer's warranty. So we warranty that at year 15, the battery is going to have at least 70% of its day one capacity. After that point, after year 15, there's really no saying when the battery will be at the end of its life. It's really, it's your asset. You'll get to make the call. You know, when is it no longer worth it for you to have the battery serviced, and when would you like to recycle it with Tesla or sell it to a third party?
Are these going to be put into an auxiliary type of a building, or because I'm looking at the picture and it just shows an open set of panels and stuff? So.
Correct. They are designed for outdoor installation. They're installed on a concrete pad. They can be in environments as low as negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit to over 122 degrees Fahrenheit. So they are very resilient, designed for outdoors. They're fully enclosed. They have very few moving parts at all. There are fans on the back of it that will also aid in cooling it down. The great thing is that Tesla, we have a network operations center where we're in real time. It's staffed 24/7. We have our operations crew monitoring the battery. And if at any point the battery performance drops or if there's any issue at all, we'll be able to dispatch one of our local maintenance and operations teams that would be local to your community. They could get out there quickly and address any issue that would happen. And it's in Tesla's interest, too, to service the battery as quickly as possible, because the state incentive, the SGIP rebate, is actually a performance-based incentive. So we get paid from the state based on how well the battery is performing. So our interests are aligned with yours. We want the battery up and running. To both provide emergency backup for when the grid goes down, which unfortunately is probably only going to be happening more and more, but also it's going to be peak shaving and load shifting your usage to actually generate energy bill savings. So it'll actually save you over $8,000 per year just to have it.
On the maintenance that comes out, so I'm seeing that the DRAM fleet is going to come out 30 times per year. Is that charged to us for maintenance? And then the spinning reserves come out 5 times a year at a half an hour.
Oh, that's on our grid services agreement? Or is that a grid services you're referring to, the demand response events and spinning reserve events? So that program is actually, it's an additional program that we offer to every owner of our industrial batteries. That program is specifically to help out the California grid. You can help prevent rolling blackouts when there's high demand on the grid, and those are demand response events. And then there's also the spinning reserves program, which is designed in case a power plant in California goes down, it trips offline. There's a bunch of distributed batteries around the state that all will inject power into the grid to kind of support the grid. So that's an optional program. If you decide you want to participate in that as well, which we do recommend just simply because your battery will provide you with about 36 hours of backup, and this would only use maybe 1 to 2 hours max. The control of the battery is controlled entirely autonomously. We have Tesla software. It's called OptiCaster. That's always controlling the batteries to optimize your savings. It's charging up when the Edison energy is cheap, and it's discharging during your times of high demand and high time of use energy rates. But then that mode gets overridden by Stormwatch mode in case there's a threat of a National Weather Service event, a FEMA-type event, or a risk of a public safety power shutoff. And then also another mode that could override that would be if you are participating in grid services, if you are participating in the demand response program. During those times when the California grid operators send out the signal that they need help, the battery will discharge, reducing your facility's demand, and in, you know, about five times per year would actually inject power into the grid to help keep the lights on for all Californians.
So this would be kind of similar to net metering.
It is similar in that sense that you're generating savings. It's energy arbitrage. You're essentially, the battery is very smart. It's controlled by an algorithm that understands exactly how Edison bills you for electricity, and it understands when to charge and when to discharge to optimize your savings and when to participate in these grid events. These grid service events, so you can essentially help out the broader community if you're interested.
And the cost to the district for all of this, is in part of the package, or is there a monthly fee that we're going to pay?
So everything, great question. Everything is $0 total, and that includes not only the hardware, which is, as was mentioned, about $750,000, for the hardware, also 10 years of operation and maintenance, the 15-year warranty. In addition to that, Tesla, we handle all of the permitting, the interconnection. We work with Edison. We work with the county or the local authority having jurisdiction. We have our land permitting and environmental use teams and survey crews. We really, we've been developing energy projects since 2006. And as I mentioned, we've deployed over 86,000 batteries across the world. And we use our expertise. And what's great for the district, and we've now signed up over 160 facilities in California, 125 of those with public sector agencies. The great thing to you is that it's all included. It's all paid for by the state, and it's $0 to you. Tesla, we front the money for the project, and then the state pays us over a five-year period through rebates.
So, question. So we can still get the battery and not opt into the California Tesla Grid Services?
Correct. That is the California Grid Services is an optional program. You don't have to participate in that to receive the battery through the state's SCHIP Equity Resiliency Program.
So if we do participate in that, the service calls are free for the first 10 years or for the life of the battery?
Oh, for the Tesla Grid Services? So the Tesla Grid Services program, it's actually you will be paid to participate to help out the California grid. It's an annual payment that you would actually get from Tesla. Tesla, we have a whole fleet of these batteries, and the state, the California independent system or the grid operator, they will actually pay us out for helping them out, and then we once a year issue you a payment for participating in the fleet program.
Okay. And if we do participate in the grid program, I do have some questions for you. And the power does go out. Does that mean that we get to use that power, or that power then becomes part of the rest of the grid?
Great question. So the battery is installed behind the meter. So if the grid goes down, if there's a sustained outage, the battery energy storage system is only powering your facility. So you first and foremost, it's your battery. It's there to back up your loads. In those, from our experience, we say in our FAQ, it happens about 5 times per year when a large power plant might trip offline quickly. Those are the events where the battery will quickly try to discharge to, you know, prevent that outage from being sustained. But if our fleet cannot, and other people participating in the program, if we can't prevent that outage from being sustained, then the battery, all that energy that's in the battery would be just for your facility, which under average circumstances is going to give you 36 hours of backup.
That's running the pump 36 hours.
Correct. Yes, our engineers looked at your previous year of usage and ran a simulator that we've developed to get that number.
So in the event of a public safety power shutoff, if they shut it off down here, your system is set up, I'm sure, that almost like an ATS automatic transfer switch, that it will run our pump, but it will not supply the locals because they shut the power off because of a high fire risk. Is that a correct statement?
Exactly. So the battery controller will island you from the grid. You'll be completely islanded. And the good thing about public safety power shutoff events is that the utility, and they use information from the National Weather Service, they know in advance that, and I'm sure you've received the emails, we may be, you know, shutting off power for you in the next 12 hours, 24 hours, 72 hours. So our battery is connected with those alerts. And as soon as we get an alert, the battery will charge up to 100%, and it will remain at 100% until when the outage occurs. Then you get 100% of that battery, and you're entirely islanded from the grid. So all that energy is yours.
Do you understand what they mean by islanding?
Okay. Well, if there's no forewarning, then they don't charge to 100% prior.
Well, but the PSPs are not lasting. That there's still enough capacity, my understanding of what they're saying is, they could run the pump for 36 hours pumping water. But if we have 50% of the tank, we can wait and pump later and, you know, just keep our water system.
He's saying that they're designed so that they know when it's coming. Well, what happens when we don't know that it's coming? A percentage. Do they get charged?
What is the capacity that you'll let the battery go down to? In other words, if it's tied into the grid, like with the grid service, what is the farthest down the battery is allowed to go before it stops being discharged out?
Great question. So the battery will be discharging during those times when you have your peak demand events. So the battery will be, you know, normally it'll be at 100%. And then when you're having your peak demand event, it will discharge for about 4 hours and it'll go from 100% to 0%. But then as soon as it gets to 0%, it starts to charge back up to 100%. So the majority of the time the battery is at 100% charge. It would only be if there was a non-forecasted outage, just a random unforeseen outage. If that were to occur during one of your peak demand events, let's say the battery had discharged to 50%, well, then you would only have 50% of the battery, which would be about 18 hours of backup. But the good news, though, is that our battery would be installed upstream from your generators. So even if the battery is only charged at a quarter, that's still going to buy you extra time from when the outage occurs until when you will revert to the current backup solution that's in place. So the whole purpose of this state program is to add resiliency to your facility with an asset that doesn't pollute, that doesn't have emissions.
Security. What if somebody steals half the battery, the battery?
Well, I don't think they can deal with
that.
Can we put that challenge out there?
Yeah, don't put that out there. They're too heavy.
They figure it out. Has one ever been stolen?
No. So they are about the weight of an elephant. You need a crane to move them, and the cabinet, so to speak, are locked and is a fully contained system. So you know, you don't have to be afraid of someone stealing them, but if you're concerned about vandalism or something like that, you would place your it will be your asset. You will own it. So, you know, you could place that under your insurance, you know, just like you would with any other asset.
Okay. But then to repair it would be the cost would be on us.
Or our insurance.
Yeah.
Correct. If there was some, act of vandalism outside of your control, outside of Tesla's control, then that would fall to your insurance.
The locking system on this, I'm going to presume it's a fairly decent one to stop, because understanding NFP 70E and arc flash protection and stuff, these cabinets have to be pretty much very secure.
Exactly. Yes, you're right. To beat a code, they have to be essentially impenetrable. But by the layman.
Okay. Any more questions or anything?
I just have one more question. I don't know how important it is. You said they're made to withstand up to 122 degrees. What happens if it gets hotter than that?
Yeah, good question. So if they're outside of that, so they can operate above 122 degrees, but above that, we would to essentially protect the system and make sure that it doesn't overheat, the performance of the battery would go down. So that's for it to perform at its 100%, to be able to discharge at which this battery can discharge at up to 210 kilowatts and, can store up to 1,160 kilowatt hours. For you to realize those, the output and the capacity of the battery, it would have to be within our normal temperature range. Outside of that, the battery will still perform, but it's going to be performing less than those specifications. Just so we make sure that, the battery is protected and doesn't overheat. And that's, it's not a fire risk. It's more of we want to protect the hardware. We don't want,
The low temperature you said was 40 degrees?
Negative
40. So I presume there's heaters in there to bring the temperature up before a fatal discharge per se.
It's actually really cool. Our engineers developed, we call it heat mode, and essentially the battery will, if it gets dangerously cold. And we do have these installed, you know, in Canada outdoors. So, you know, definitely you guys won't have to worry about that type of cold. But heat mode is designed to, you actually will lose some, it's a similar thing where you lose some efficiency of the battery, you know, how much energy you can get out of it. But that some of that energy is used to keep the system warm enough.
One more question.
You did that three questions ago.
Well, if we participate in the California grid services, what can you give me a ballpark of what the average? Because I'm seeing here it's $1 to $2 per kilowatt hour, and it's going to pull maybe 35 times per year for a half an hour to 2 hours. What kind of revenue is that?
So for your battery, it would be about $1,160 to $2,320. So it's, you know, cherry on the cake. It's not an overwhelming amount of money. You know, like $1,000 to $2,000 per year. You know, however, if you guys live in the community, you might be helping yourself. You know, keep the lights on for you and your neighbors. And really, this is the way that the California grid operators and also the utilities, Edison included. Edison is a huge proponent of both equity resiliency, but also grid services. This is kind of the concepts for the, you know, energy grid of the future, that we have all these redundancies in place. We have distributed energy generation and storage assets that can all discharge when the grid needs it. So it's not an overwhelming amount of savings, but it can have a real impact in your community and broader across the California grid.
Thank you very much for chiming in there. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of good information. So,
I have a couple, just for clarification.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan?
Yes.
You said that this powers the facility, so it's just the power in the battery is just not to power the pump motor, it's the entire facility.
The well house. Not the cabazon.
Yeah.
Just the well house.
Yeah.
Correct. It's for that Edison meter. Everything that is fed by well number 2 Edison meter.
And is there any training or orientation for water operators here once that battery is installed?
So, yes, we will, first and foremost, you will be meeting with Tesla project manager and our survey crew. We will give you access to our owner's manual. That being said, if, you know, a lot of what's in the manual is, you know, if for whatever reason you notice anything, give Tesla a call. The state pays us to operate and maintain the batteries for 10 years. So we'll work with you before the permitting stage to, you know, share the proposed design. You know, you'll sign off on it, and, you know, you'll see exactly where it's going to connect to your system, how it will connect, and how it's controlled completely autonomously. But we do give you access to Tesla software that we call Tesla Power Hub, that you will have access to monitor the system. But also, if you want to place a request to, let's say, you know that there's going to be some, let's say Edison is doing some work and they let you know that they're going to be shutting down, and you want to charge up the batteries to 100%, you you can, through that software, put in that request for the batteries to charge up to 100%. So we'll be your partner along the whole way. We'll be working closely with you. We actually have our installation operation and service teams. I'm just pulling up our map right here, but they are local to your area, so you will have local Tesla contacts. And I believe we're in San Bernardino is probably the closest location we have to you. But yes, you'll be closely in touch with Tesla. We'll provide you with training, so to speak.
Okay, one last question. We use the SCADA system to control and pre-program our pumps to come on and off and at certain levels, and is operated by Wonderware. Will there be any conflict with your software?
So any SCADA system that controls your pumps, we won't interfere with that at all. Based on where we interconnect, everything will still be able to operate exactly how it can. If you would want to have the Tesla battery to also be tied into that system for control, our engineers could look at that for you, but just kind of our standard offering is, we're just there just charging and discharging to optimize your bill and then also to provide emergency backup. But if you would like some higher level SCADA integration, our engineers can definitely look at that for you.
Yours is in a standalone program, correct?
Sorry, it's a little difficult to hear, but I heard standalone.
Yours is a standalone system. It does not need to be integrated into our SCADA.
Correct. That's correct. Our system does need...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say our system does need an internet connection, so we use AT&T. We need AT&T 3G or better. If that's not available, we will need a wired internet connection if that's possible. But our engineers and our survey team down the road will, be consulting with you on if that's required.
Yeah, I think I answered that question. Our service is Frontier.
Right, but there's a radio. Isn't there a cell tower up there?
Yes.
So that would be their 3G connection, would be through a GSM or mm-hmm. CDMA, something to that nature. You'd be using a cellular network, if you correct?
Correct. And it's interestingly enough, I have used the superchargers at the Cabazon outlets there. I don't know if you've seen for the Tesla vehicles. And the vehicles use the same AT&T 3G network, and I do recall I did have service there. So I would assume at well number two we would also have service.
All right. This is one I got to thinking about, is if the system, the battery is charging during daylight hours, okay, now – is the battery upstream or downstream of the meter?
It's downstream of the meter.
Okay.
Correct.
So, and my question is during peak hours, I mean, we don't want to pay peak demand hour prices mm-hmm. to charge this battery.
Gotcha. The algorithm that controls it, that controls the charging and discharging, it knows, it understands the rate tariff or the rate schedule of Edison, And it also knows your usage pattern. It will come already knowing the previous year, and it will continue to learn over time. And as the utility changes the rate schedule over time, which they do from time to time, the battery, the algorithm that controls the battery understands that. So this will only reduce your savings. It will be charging literally when energy is the cheapest and discharging when the high time of use energy rates, but also during your peak demand events. So it's very smart, and we have a very large network of these batteries, and we have it very dialed in. We really understand exactly how they operate and when to charge and when to discharge to maximize your savings.
Okay. Any other? Okay. So are we going to go with it?
I think it's amazing. I'm not too sure about the grid services, and here's my thoughts. So yes, we could be a battery for the rest of Cabazon, right, for a little bit of time. But you can survive without power, you can't survive without water, or we can run well two for 36 hours, which I think would be more beneficial than a little bit of power.
The average pump time during low demand periods is about 6 hours, and then during high peak, you know, when like the summer and winters together, high temperature, I'll run not only two, but I'll run five, but that's when the outlet's at full operation too, and that's usually about 8 to 10 hours.
I don't see an issue. We can always opt in or opt out of the
California grid services.
The grid services, is that correct?
Correct, and that's honestly what I was going to mention as well. You don't have to decide on that today. You can, wait until even after the battery is up and running and after, you're more familiar with it, then you can decide if that's something you're interested in. It's really, it's just as a courtesy, we offer it to all of our industrial customers. And, Tesla, we're trying to help California make the grid more reliable and also, do it with sustainable technology. So, it's there for you, when you're ready for it.
I'm for it. I'm for it. All right, Diana. All right, thank you very much. Do you want to make a motion on it, one of you?
Do we have to vote on this?
Yes.
Yes, we have to move on it today, for the most part.
And you need to determine whether, if you approve this agreement, you got to either in the motion, either have the chairman or have the general manager sign their contract.
I have no problem signing it. So, if somebody wants to make a motion,
I move that we accept
the Tesla proposal.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, is this proposal with or without Frankfurt? Yeah, thank you.
This is to initiate
the program,
but that grid services is an option we can go into or out of at our choice.
No, I understand, but he's proposing for that, and I was wondering, we're going to on that, correct?
Right.
Okay, I will second that motion.
Okay.
So the motion to approve the Tesla battery proposal made by Director Sanderson, seconded by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Borba?
Aye.
And Director
Lee? Aye. So now we need a motion to approve the signer, Calvin and myself.
I make a motion to approve the signer of Director Link or General Manager Lee.
I second the motion.
Okay, you should have put it in there, but because you did, it's okay.
I'll figure it out one day.
So the motions have
signator of the contract.
Is signature the contract be Calvin Louie or Director Lee, made by Director Morris?
Aye.
And Director Sanderson?
Yeah, aye.
Oh, she's asking for who made the motion and who seconded it.
Yes.
We're a small district. Forgive us. We're backwater.
Director
Warfield?
Aye.
And
Director Lee?
Aye.
All right. Sounds like we've got a plan. Okay, so it'll be done next Tuesday, right?
So, yeah, didn't know if that was a joke or not. So, yeah, the next step is after we have the signed agreements, we will I'll have a meeting with my interconnection, incentives, operations, survey, and project engineering team. We'll all have kind of a little kickoff. And then the first thing is to submit the application to the state. And then it's kind of a hurry up and wait kind of thing. So we submit the application to the program administrators, and then it could take 2 months until we hear back from them. It could take 6 months. Right now it's about 2 months, though, so that's what it's been lately. But in the meanwhile, while we're waiting for the state, we will send out our first survey crew. I'll be coordinating that with General Manager Louie. And, you know, we'll come out on site, we'll get familiar with the equipment, and then we'll start designing our plans for permit. So we'll be in touch with you really all along the way, and you'll have a I'll hand off the project to a Tesla project manager, and they'll be your point of contact who will be able to communicate schedules and you know, when it's looking like the project will be built, but then even more importantly, when is Southern California Edison going to give permission to operate the system that sometimes takes even 4 months after we've built the system. So it is a little bit hurry up and wait, but you know, we'll move as fast as the powers that be allow us to.
When would you like the agreements executed or, you know, signed and have copies? Need to email you copies, or is that going to wait? Can that wait?
When do you need the contract by?
Just looking at the date right now. You know, sooner the better. It's always the sooner the better. You know, would I marked in our Tesla's internal system? I gave a week after this meeting. You know, for our expected date. That because we're
me.
We have to communicate.
They're going.
Because we have to communicate with our factory for allocation. So that's what I've put in our system. Is 1 week, within 1 week, possible?
Price, I still looking at a price sheet, and then that has a signature and the purchase agreement. Are these the only two documents that need to sign?
I can send over the packet again. It's the purchase agreement, maintenance, customer attestation. Then there's the rebate request form. That's the SGIP rebate form. Then we have our then there's a Southern California Edison third-party authorization form that allows Tesla to send and receive data on your behalf, and to receive data from the utility. And then we have the optional grid services program. And then the last contract is our standard non-disclosure agreement that essentially we just ask that you don't share our owner's manual with anyone outside the district.
Why don't you just email me a clean copy?
Sounds good.
Now, but the state hasn't. We had to do this per state requirements before a certain date. Did that contract have to be before that date?
It's not. There's no state requirement that it's the incentive is first come first served. Really, what's The thing that's driving the urgency right now is that Tesla, we've been signing up so many folks just like yourself in California. We also have other, we sell two utilities. We also manufacture, we use the same batteries in our vehicles and all around the world, and Tesla, we're really expanding quickly. So there's just so much more demand for our batteries than we can meet with supply at the moment. So what we're seeing is very quickly all of our batteries are getting allocated very quickly, and so the quicker that the district can move, the quicker you'll get your batteries. A difference of maybe a couple weeks might translate to several months or maybe even a year of longer of waiting for the battery. So if you're interested in moving forward, I really recommend going as fast as possible, because the batteries are flying off the shelves.
Possible for you to email me a clean copy tonight?
Yes, I can do that right now.
And I'll have Chairman Link sign in and I'll email it back to you. Is that quick enough?
If you get the copy back tonight, is that quick enough?
Yes, yeah, the sooner the better. I will I'll draft an email for my team so we can kind of hit the ground running tomorrow morning.
So do you need a wet signature eventually?
We approve. We use Adobe Sign, which is like an e-sign service, and Edison likes us using that as well because they can see it gets audited. They can confirm it was you, and they can see when you signed and all that stuff. So, if possible, I'll send another Adobe Sign if that can be e-signed.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. All right. Well, sounds like a done deal.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Ryan. All
right. You're welcome.
Next item on the list, Static and Brown LLP proposal for audit services. Are they on the line?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a little confused by this one. They're giving us a quote, but then they're saying that we need to use somebody else for the next 2 years. We're recommending audit partner rotation. Or maybe they're just rotating the person that's doing the audit. In the first paragraph.
Last time they were saying that it keeps it more professional and fresh and
maintain freshness and perspective and comply with state requirements. And that's in that first paragraph.
I see what you're saying.
So is it a different audit company or just a different person doing the audit?
It's an interesting question. Let's see. This fee is, we are recommending audit partner rotation in fiscal year 2021 to maintain freshness. Okay, it's not a requirement, but it's a recommendation. Kind of a catch-22. The dumb question is, did they have a recommendation of another company? Calvin? Okay.
No, they don't.
When were they going to do the audit? They were going to do it in June, right?
Correct.
Doesn't leave us a lot of time to research another person.
Can I interject a little bit?
No.
I was involved in audits and various, not that that means a whole lot, except I think they're just talking about one of their audit partners. I don't think they're, whomever came here and conducted the audit, it's still going to be Free, Dak, and Brown. It's just going to be another audit partner.
It does say audit partner in here.
Yeah. Okay.
I know, but
it's a good point. But we need to. I would like to.
I would worry about it, but that's up to you.
Yeah. Well, my thought was we would approve the contract.
Feedback and Brown.
Right. With the addendum to get a clarification of what they're referring to about the audit, switching an audit partner. Then if they're talking a partner internal or
external,
that if it's an external, that gives us time to research another firm.
I'm going to say again, I was involved in audits. I would not even question that.
Okay.
I just wouldn't because I feel foolish.
Okay, I understand.
But if it makes you all feel better, you should.
Well, I appreciate the input. Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. I would.
Questions, comments?
Let's go with Feedback and Brown.
I'm going to say to do that. Can we make a motion with that? That if when they answer that question, it goes through? If it's within
just for
the
clarification.
Company?
Yeah.
Are you making the motion?
Yeah. Yeah, I move Feedback and Brown for our CPAs, our audit.
Okay.
I don't know if I said it right.
I second that.
You seconded
it?
Okay.
But just for personal clarification, if you could ask, you know, see if we interpreted
okay.
that right.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay. Motion to approve FedEx and Brown proposal for audit services made by Director Sanderson and seconded by Director Warhol with the clarification that same minute rotation of just the person or the company. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Moore?
Aye.
Director Warhol?
Aye.
And Director Link?
With a year notice, if the board would like to direct management to start researching in the following fiscal year for other auditors, that I can start now. And probably, they say, beginning of 2022, I'll have a list of auditors for you guys to review.
Wouldn't hurt to see.
We get a 5-minute point of privilege.
Last month. There you go.
One more.
Without, I don't want to sound like I'm getting personal. I just want to get to know you. How old are you?
22.
Yeah. So you have a lot of learning and growing to do. That's good.
You sound just like your cousin on the phone.
Is she related to Ellie?
Yes.
Ah, so you have a mentor at your beck and call.
We have her all at our
beck. Actually, I haven't asked her anything yet, but.
You know, that's off of a gas tank. That one right there.
But that's if they just had enough sense to put a gasket on it.
Yeah.
How did they find it?
Clegg. We
Hello, we can't hear you guys anymore.
We're on mute, Mom.
Yeah, we're taking our 5-minute point of privilege.
That was because this one. Yeah. She was just here to ask.
Thank you.
Anybody else out there, or is it just you?
She's going pee-pee.
Well, I know.
Who else is online? Somebody else joined us. Somebody joined us.
It was Ryan. He hung up. He sent the agreement.
Is Robert still on?
I'm signing and review.
You ready?
Yeah, it's on the screen. On my screen, my office.
Robert, are you still there?
Ryan?
Robert, your bar.
Oh.
He's in his signing on your bus water. Evelyn, can I get that letter printed out?
Oh, yeah.
Letter?
Letter.
Oh, the letter's
an Eleanor. Oh, I said butter. I go.
I'm going to know if you should stop and pick up dinner or if I'm going to make dinner.
Go on, Bobbin.
Does me have a calendar?
Yeah. I know you knew I had a meeting, so you want to know if you should talk to the president.
I go. My husband will get off work. He's still work anyways. He can get a snack.
All right. So,
I think she's in the...
Yeah, it's like off a motorcycle guy.
I didn't realize you had a good jacket in here. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's a good jacket. Didn't even keep it warm.
I bought it in Colorado. I hope it's a good jacket. No, I wasn't wearing it out there.
Okay, so. You got a better call. Fire department haven't checked this place. It smells like something's burning.
No? That's because you're smoking cigars.
I smoke cigars, man.
Sarcastic. They don't smoke. The cigarettes and cigars smoke. They're just the suckers.
I was standing downwind.
We're going to have to get up in the vice chair because he's not here. Are we going to bring in the one who came in third place? Or
who came in third?
Yeah.
Alan, you had that point.
But you said no one had
to
that.
You have to go to, like, the events that they want to go to.
Yeah.
Or the special election.
Alan.
Alan that used to be on the board, he ran last time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he left town.
We'll do that next time.
There's a possibility of him leaving, but I heard he's still here.
I still slice on way, a month ago.
But I thought since he ran, you have to open it though.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
We are back in session. The time is 7:18. Next item.
Yay!
Look at me like that.
You know, you got to wonder about somebody who gets their total life into entertainment for the month listening to stupid waterboard meetings. Or she just can't get enough of hearing her daughter, so she's got to listen even when
she was here before
way.
I was at all these meetings.
Yeah, I know that. All right. Next item is donation request to free conference call for use of free services during the pandemic. Where the call, this conference call system, all the other ones charge. This one is a free service that accepts donations to cover their overhead. And I made the suggestion we give a donation.
So the suggested amounts are $4, $6 a month, or $15 a month.
Or you can select them.
Yeah, you can select your own.
So?
Well, do you have a dollar amount?
Yeah, $15.
$15 a month?
I think $15 is pretty fair.
Sounds reasonable.
So I need somebody to make... Ooh. Yeah, but let's do it as a motion. That way it's...
Probably other than you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, I'd move... That we accept $15 a month donation request, donation for the free conference call.
Not accept, make a donation.
It's okay.
We're just for the legality part of it, we just changed the words.
I will second that motion.
All right, so motion to approve a monthly $15 donation to freeconferencecall.com made by Director Sanderson and seconded by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wardlow?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Next item of business, Chick-fil-A development update.
It's been a late. Just for legality purposes.
Chick-fil-A?
Don't worry, we're
Chick-fil-A?
That's exactly it.
No, yes. They're not a. The,
it
no.
is. I'm. Yeah.
No.
It's very romantic.
Whatever. Okay. So what is the
what's the update?
Yep.
Well, we had a conference call. We're going to have another one where they basically did not comply with any of the district requirements, nor had they moved their water meter from Seminole to Apache Trail. And they had agreed to do that, and they're going to correct make the corrections. But what they wanted to know to have some assurance that I wanted them to continue that 8-inch line, 8-inch transmission line into the neighborhood, and it only really requires just to do, you know, that 8-inch line in their frontage, and I having an additional 8-inch line that would go into the first street is, what is that first street? Would benefit that neighborhood, and so management is recommending to the board that we will reimburse Chick-fil-A either by either returning them, giving them credit, or providing them a check at the end of the day for their engineering and installation of the extended 8-inch line 100%. And is tentative of that on their estimated cost. So if they give me an estimate that is really overwhelming, then the deal's off. But so what they want to do at this time is to have some assurance from the board that this ship will reimburse them 100% for anything additional cost and installation, the cost for construction, beyond their frontage.
Lamara Road.
Kuma.
No, it's a dead end street.
U-M-A-R-A. And it ends.
It ends it in the back of the outlet stores right there. So you want them to extend the line to the first intersection north. What are we looking at, 75 or 100 feet? Okay. So they're saying if they extend it to that point, they want to be reimbursed for that 100 feet.
Right. And they would like the option of either provide them credit or I don't, you know.
Yes, I understand.
But whatever, you know. It's not the engineering firm. They said it's up to, you know, their client, which is Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
And my pushback from them is obtaining an agreement or from the board that we will reimburse them 100%. That agreement would be tentative to what their estimated cost would be for extending and designing the line. I think that's more, if it's within reason, I think it would be more convenient than having us
later
and
yeah,
having
to go out and bid and
outsource. What do you think is going to be reasonable? What number are you going to say that C that's going to be, no, that's unreasonable? What's your benchmark?
I think anything over 50 grand.
So you're thinking $500 a foot.
Engineering and construction and parts, material.
That's reasonable. Now, is that going to be CPVC or
C900?
Okay.
8-inch.
That's the pipe.
I assume
that. Huh?
I assume that.
Well, it's plastic pipe.
What was their tie-in cost? Is that just repay that fast then? Don't they have an initial when they're...
What's it going to cost them to hook up to the system?
Their
connection fee.
Their connection fee? think it's like 20 to 20. You're looking at, you know, fire protection and potable water.
Okay. So we're not going to see the benefit of that.
Of the fire connection, but so our end cost would be, I'm just going to say $20,000 for the extension of the pipeline 100 feet into the community, which down the road.
It needs it, right? Yeah.
Okay. The only decision I'm asking the board to make is just a percentage. Yeah, it's less than 100%, there's no deal, but it's tentative, you know, to the cost. In other words, if you agree tonight, we'll reimburse you 100%, so let's just say it's $125,000. Well, that's too, that's beyond our financial capabilities, so deals off.
Yeah, they just have to do it to their property line. Okay. So what he's saying is, they want to sign, they are agreeing to complete the pipeline an additional 100 feet, but we pay the cost or they get a credit off of their bill and or connection charge. But if it goes beyond what he's saying, like $50,000, it's no deal, just stop at the property line.
And he makes the decision?
Yes.
Sounds reasonable. Do we have to vote?
We need a motion.
Yeah, we need a motion.
Just the percentage, and in the motion, is tentative to the cost, not to exceed the say $50,000. If that'll make the board even more comfortable.
If we put the $50,000 in the motion.
Okay.
But then are they going to be able to see that and go, oh, we can charge this much?
Yeah. Well, then you can just say 100%, because tentative is just a blind amount.
So in other words, we agree to the 100% reimbursement for the 100 feet.
Tentative to the cost.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I make a motion that we agree with Chick-fil-A that we agree to reimburse up to 100% for the additional 100 feet of the 8-inch line to...
Well, don't put a foot, just to say extension.
The extension, tentative to the cost.
With a not to exceed.
Not 50,000. Well, so I'm saying, do we want to put that in there because the ATR public knows?
Yeah.
And they were only going to charge us 20.
29,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. If they were only going to charge us 20 and they see our notes, then they're going to have to bump it up because that's public.
Well, a fee determined by the manager.
You know, how about a fee that's affordable for the district?
Okay. Send them to a fee that's affordable to the district.
Okay. All right.
I was like,
I
motion to approve 100% reimbursement to Chick-fil-A for the cost of extending the main pipeline beyond Chick-fil-A's frontage, tended to the cost not to extend the fee affordable to the district, made by Director Wargo, seconded by Director Morris. Director Sexton?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Warbo?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye. Next item is public comment. Too late.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, that was a comment.
At least you're not yelling, we can't hear you.
Or it's cold in here. Turn the air off.
Turn the air conditioner on, Calvin.
I'm telling you.
Okay. Next item is future agenda items. Need an agenda item to put it out to put it out to the community that in publication and notification of a vacancy on the board, and that the district will appoint a person after interviews.
So we have to post it anywhere?
We can post it and let it out. I'll just do like. What is that, the old Dragon Banning?
The Record Gazette.
Records Gazette.
But you also have the Patch, the Banning Patch, which is an online newspaper.
One goes to a lot of people's emails out here in this area, is the Patch.
Yeah.
Do they have to physically post? I know the San Antonio Pass Water Agency had to post it in three different spots, and they chose all over them.
Yeah, we'll get the post here, the community center, and then at the post office.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then it published. It has to be published in a recognized thing.
So we're not going to know. We're not going to have open. Do we have to talk to the lawyer before we can have open interview?
Was that again?
Do we have to talk with the lawyer before we can have open interviews, so we're not...
Well, I'll confer with Steve.
Okay.
This isn't the first rodeo that this board and this district's gone through.
Okay.
But do we have to say when interviews will be?
It's going to take... Is there a new timeline according to the state?
I think it's 90 days.
90 days okay. Or else the County Board of Supervisors appoints.
Okay. So, okay. Where's my brains?
We should probably do this as soon as possible in case we don't have anybody that reaches out in the first 30 days.
Which we may not.
There was only one other person that ran this last time.
Al. But who else may want to?
We have to put it out to the community.
No, I agree.
I'm just saying you don't have a lot of people that have the interest.
Yeah.
You might now. There's a bunch of interest.
I know.
We'll just put it on the thing. Yeah, but they don't even make a
meeting. That's a joke.
Yeah.
So 3 months. So it's March, April, May. That'll be almost June, wouldn't it? Okay, I'm going to be out of town. The 25th of June, the week, the 25th? Oh, that's wrong, man. Sorry.
90 days
of June 16th,
isn't it?
Yeah, so you've got March, so April, May, June.
June, the third Tuesday of June is the 15th.
Yeah.
That's cutting it a little too close.
Yeah, that's really close.
In respect to what? November?
In respect to the 16th is the Board of Supervisors.
April 20th would be the next board meeting.
Right, but we have to post the notice, right?
April 20th.
We can start it out with our water bills.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, yeah. But we need it needs to be posted. So that means by the next meeting. So we post it, and then we tell people to turn in their applications at the next meeting, and then we set up an interview with them. Do we set up a special board meeting to interview? We would probably have to do that. So.
Depending on when we get back.
All right. So the item would be posted within the next week. So basically by Tuesday next week, I'd like to see it posted and distributed, and then the water bills go out on when? In when?
June
31st. So I want notices put in all the water bills, okay, that on the next, I don't care, it's still there.
That's why I said most of them don't read it. That's why I'm saying it's there.
It's a catch-22.
We're already sending it out.
Yeah. So then we'll be accepting applications, and then the next meeting at the next meeting we'll set up interviews based on the application.
Okay, so there has to be a deadline for a letter of intent, right? They have to get I'm just going off of what the other one
does. No, that's fine. Yeah.
So there has to be a deadline for the letter of intent, and then based on the number of intents that we get back, like their letter of intent, their resumes, and then we can go to saying, are we going to do in-person? We'll get 30 back. We're not going to interview all 30 of them. We have to have some kind of vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think we need to register, to file a notice with their voter registrar, too.
Okay.
Do it?
Okay.
Well, what if they have to have them turned in?
So you're going to confer with Steve on all that needs to be done and make it happen.
We want to have them turned in before that, so we can say, okay, there are 30 of them, but then we can hold the interviews on
turn in a copy to the rope for sure.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get them turned in quick then, because the bills are going to go up until
the 31st. 2 weeks.
Okay, so we can still add to that. So we can say, where's your brain?
A week after that, they would have to have them turned in?
Well, Well, we could
do 2 weeks because we meet on the third. The third.
That's really close to the next week.
I usually receive my bill right around the 5th. And everybody will be happy with this bill, so they actually will read it.
They should be.
Well,
they might just see the number and be like, who went through it?
Okay, so March. Oh, we're in March.
So if I receive my bill by the 5th, as usual, sometimes it's a little bit later, than that would be Monday. Maybe if we give them until the 13th, that's 1 week before our next meeting.
Yeah, that would give us time to, for Calvin to say there's 10, there's 2, there's none, there's
so they have
to
do it by the 13th.
We still have the little option where we can put a little message on the bill. Because I'm actually coming to Diana, just you know, people just
throw the flyer out
and say board opening or director opening appointment.
Letters of intent due by March, April
13th. By April 13th.
The people read their bill. They have everything else inserted. They have quite as tall.
Maybe we can do both.
The meeting is a week after that. Don't we want to manage this?
Well, that would be the letter of intent. And then we'd have it. That would give how many people that are interested.
You need to also put
then
your,
we could interview
website,
on the
website.
I already texted her and told her it was open. I'm just kidding. I'm going to do that right now.
You know, you're...
No, oh.
It's okay. Yes, I know. Because once we leave here, this evening,
I'm fair game.
Okay, so are we kind of set on what's going to happen?
He's going to take his gavel with him.
Did they actually have to make a motion or put it as an agenda item?
They did have to put it. They had to.
Oh, wait a minute. We can add an agenda item to the agenda in an emergency, correct? So we just added it to this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
As an emergency agenda item.
Yeah. We added it to today's agenda.
Okay.
So now we need to, we've made the motion of what, you know what, you got to go through, and now we need a motion, a second, and then a vote. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she motioned for what we talked about.
She didn't, though, and you can't point her out.
I heard Diana say that we needed to elect a new
There's a gavel. You got the gavel way over there.
Actually, what I said was we needed to elect a new VP.
Well, do we want to wait until we get the other board member, or do we want to do that now?
Are you for sure 100% you're going to be here for every meeting until then? Because who's going to run the meeting if you're not here? That's my only worry.
Oh, okay, it's a valid point. Okay. So we need to, somebody to nominate somebody as a vice president of the board.
I make a motion.
Vice chair.
I nominate Sarah Wargo for vice chair.
I second the nomination.
Is there any other nominations?
No, that's true.
Well, no, she can.
Okay.
All right.
I third.
Which one?
This is for the vice chair of the board. Vice chair to fill up vacancy chair to maintain structural.
Yes.
Sanity.
Okay.
Okay.
Integrity.
Yeah, well, I don't want you running
it. All right, so the motion calls Director Wargo as the Vice Chairman of the Board, made by Director Morris, seconded by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Same.
And Director Lee?
Come on, Link.
Put Diana here.
I
Oh, yeah, real quick when you heard
okay,
my name.
So we got her on.
Okay. Aw,
thank you.
So thank you, Mrs. Romero.
Cross out Maxine.
We do it like this, and we just kind of hold it up right like that.
Yeah.
A director.
Technical advisor.
All right. So, okay. So now about the emergency agenda item to facilitate appointing somebody to the board.
I'll make a motion. Poor thing.
We're looking for a director. That's it.
So yep. We need to have
to approve
the process.
The process of looking for a new board
appoint a new board member.
Thank you. Sorry.
Within all legal guidelines.
So we want to put in there letters of intent.
Letters of intent by April 13th.
Okay.
And interviews to be held at the next board meeting in April on the 20th.
Yes. I'll be back from Arizona.
Wait, when is he going to Arizona?
Are we going to the next meeting? I don't want to get out of here.
Are you voting on this too?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Oh, I need to second.
I second it.
Okay, so the motion to begin the process for appointing a new board member, the letters of intent are due by April 13th, and interviews the 20th of April, made by Director Morris and seconded by Director Wargo. Sanderson, Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
And Director Lee.
Okay. Any suggestions from the public? Any suggestions from the management?
You guys have fun.
I don't care about anything. I'm going to handle you for me.
I move we
adjourn.
Yeah.
Hey, just one. Okay, one moment before the second. Okay, finance and work audit workshop is on the 20th of next month. Regular board meeting the 20th of next month. Personnel committee none. Past regional water alliance meeting is March 17th. To be attended by Mrs. Morris. In lieu of that, if there is a problem where you cannot attend, please let us know so that myself or Mrs. Wargo or Mr. Sanders can attend.
Okay.
Second to the motion to adjourn.
Yeah. So all in favor of everybody.
743. Oh, gosh, I'm 43. 43. Okay, so motion to adjourn at 7:43 p.m. made by Director Sanderson, seconded by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director
Morris?
Aye.
One thing to remember is on that adjournment, you're not going to get a nay. You're not going to get a nay on adjournment.
Good night, guys.
Did I just hear something from the peanut gallery?
Peanut says good night.
Good night, love.
His name means me.
I don't really.
I have Jess.
I need you in my office.
Yeah, let's find out. I have. See, you got lucky, Mrs. Morris.
Mrs. Who?